With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I am your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to, I don't even know what the hell to call this. Welcome to Divorce.
Welcome to the First weird. Wives Club.
Yeah, it's weird.
If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
And thank you for your patronage.
Yeah, thank you for hanging out with us and for being you. And as James mentioned, we are on Patreon. Patreon.com/YouGotHeigold. YouGotHeigld.
I was just doing it like if you were leaving a general store and then like the, you know, like, thank you for your patronage. I was doing just one of those, but that's even better.
You know what though, James? We are a general store because we have a little bit of what
true.
You need and
that's
some, of that, some extra.
Yeah. And if you need like a, you know, an axle for a Model T, we got that in the back. Yeah. Too. We're pretty good.
Exactly.
We got it all.
So yes, we are on Patreon. Thank you so much for your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank
yes,
you for your Patreon donations. This week we're going to be doing the Make Your Own Rom-Com game.
Yes, and on,
we're
Patreon,
gonna, not, on Patreon. On yeah. Patreon. Sorry.
It's fun. You added an extra layer.
Yes, I was going to say the extra element that I added is that the decades. So, you know, we'll have 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. So we'll be taking in our main characters, our love interests, the jobs that they have and the plot points. And we'll be adding in decades. So that way we can't just like.
Yeah, it's fun because otherwise you don't know where to
cool,
do.
Cool, but the sky's the limit because then you have a lot of questions. But
well,
I feel
yeah.
like the questions would narrow down
when I get
if
Dolly Parton.
Data set.
When I get Dolly Parton as my character, it could be any time in the last 50 years.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You know, we need to narrow it so it helps.
What we're trying to say is Dolly Parton should be our dictator. Okay. So yes, we'll be playing Make Your Own Rom-Com on Patreon this week, and we're adding the decades. Last week we watched the movie Teen Witch.
We did.
In,
that was
something. In light of Halloween.
That was something.
No, it was great.
Yeah, it was not great. It was something.
I'm gonna be the most popular guest.
They really were trying hard at something and just missed on every. Like there, if there was a dartboard,
yeah.
they didn't even hit the board. There's,
no.
It's all stuck in the panel wall in the basement all around it, all the darts. It's not
and they've
even,
made a tower out of cups.
Absolutely. It's just disaster.
They stopped throwing things at the dartboard and they just started building a tower.
They gave up at
they
some
were
point.
Just, they were well, like, let's do something else.
At some point, the acid kicked in and
yeah.
then they got really fucked up.
But this week, we watched the movie The Great. No, nope. I was going to call it The Great First Wives Club, but it is great. And
the
I was
Great
just,
First Wives yeah, Club.
Like, so yeah, it's The First Wives Club. And just a reminder, guys, we are doing 3 weeks on, 1 week off.
Yes, we are.
So I think we're in our second week here.
This is our second week here with you. We were a little late this week just because all the election stuff. We were like, that's a lot of stuff going on. We can't compete
with
that.
We forgot what day it was.
Yeah,
so
we,
I just kind of
yeah.
feel like you guys did too. So we were like, let's just chill, let everybody.
We couldn't compete with that.
No.
So we were just like, there's a lot going on. People on every side are very much intrigued
yeah.
by this. So we're like, we're going to give it a couple of days and then
yeah.
we'll watch the First Wives Club and throw down. So
yeah, this way that it's actually about the movie instead of like,
yeah.
you know, what county do they live in?
What's yeah.
the, who's
I'm
the
just
county?
Happy I'm not going to have to hear about votes in terms of batches and dumps anymore.
Yeah, don't stop
really,
taking dumps.
It was really kind of getting me every time they'd say it. We got another batch and a dump of votes with the batches. And I'm like, ew. Batches and dumps? Jesus
yeah.
Christ, that's a
it's
little
just,
extreme.
Yeah, just a dump of batches.
I don't know.
So, anyway,
we got First Wives Club here.
We watched The First Wives Club, 1996, 1 hour and 43 minutes, starring Goldie Hawn.
Longer than it sounds.
Yeah, yeah. It was agonizing. Starring Goldie Hawn, Bette Midler, and Diane Keaton. The IMDb description: Reunited by the death of a college friend, three divorced women seek revenge on the husbands who left them for younger women.
Revenge!
Revenge!
This is some Shakespearean shit, too.
Yeah,
this
it is, really is.
This is
the
really...
tagline is, don't get mad, get everything.
Damn.
Get yeah. it? Because divorce.
Yeah, this is...
And revenge.
They want some...
Don't get mad, get everything.
Get everything.
But, like, you're still allowed to be mad while you get everything. So you can do
I
both.
Guess.
Ladies, you can do both.
I guess they just mean to focus more. If you don't want to be, like... You can't be too mad.
Well, yeah, because they didn't even have, like...
You'll lose focus.
They, like, built an office, and they yeah. made this, like, their full-time job.
They needed to hire, like, plumbers and shit. Like, this is a no-joke.
Yeah.
They needed to oversee a project where, literally, they had to pick out...
I don't think that they were allowed to, like, per code, be in that office.
Oh, they had no hard hats on, nothing. Just Goldie with her hair flowing and everything like that. But they had to, like, pick out,
you know. Do you have a permit to work here?
They had to pick out patterns and colors and like, yeah. you know, wallpaper and hire plumbers. And there's a lot to do here. This
yeah.
was a lot going on.
Yeah.
These ladies were
one of them's got
doing
a kid.
Something. Yeah, he doesn't seem to factor in
well,
much.
Yeah.
He's just kind of there, and it's like, yeah, we don't worry about him.
The fun fact is that I only watched this movie for the first time this year. This is my second viewing.
Really?
Yeah, this was my second viewing. I'm not mad at it. I'm not upset with the viewing. I think it's a good quality movie. And James, if you are ready...
That's so strange. You've never seen this movie so old. I just figured you would have seen it by now. All right. Well, let's do it. Let's get into this.
There's a lot of movies I haven't seen, and I'm surprised that you're not like, because what movie did I just watch the other day?
Oh.
The Spaceballs. I hadn't seen that one either.
That blew my mind because you
know.
Love Mel Brooks. So
I love
like,
Mel
what
Brooks.
The fuck?
I don't know if I just didn't appreciate the Star Wars-ness of it and I just never gave it a shot.
I have no interest in Star Wars. Like,
no, and I don't know what my problem was. I should have just watched
yeah.
it, but I don't know if I was just like, you know, I'm not in love with the Star Wars thing. Like,
there's,
I just don't
yeah.
care about it. Like, space to me, it, you know.
It bores the shit out of me, so
yeah.
I get it. I'm the same way. So I,
yeah.
But Spaceballs, it was Mel Brooks. That's how it was introduced.
Yeah, yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
It's
so
like,
I definitely
need to see this movie.
I love Mel Brooks, but just like if it's a movie that takes place mostly in the water or in space or
that's both of
in
us.
Like
that's
an
how,
airplane, I'm just like snooze.
You want to know why we have a successful relationship? Because neither of us like movies that take place in space or in water. Both of
yeah.
us are bored by that. If one person wants to watch a fucking submarine movie and the other one doesn't, your marriage will fail.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that right now.
That
it's
should
all
be
about that
that's
shit.
Your opening line,
yeah.
ladies. What's your favorite in the water movie?
That's it. And if they go none, you keep her. There you go. So I found one.
If,
all right, let's
I don't
do
like
this.
Them. No. Or if you like them, I apologize. I'm not trying to insult
oh,
your favorite movie.
A lot of
movie.
People love them. It's
just
fine.
Not
it's just
for
not
us.
For me. Yeah, I don't care.
I
if
start
you like
really
them,
fantasizing
great.
About what chores I can do.
I'm bored to shit. I can't
I'm like,
take
let's
it.
Wrap it up. Okay, yep. anyway. Speaking of wrap it up, let's get into this. We start with a pop art montage, a little intro title sequence thing with cartoon retro ladies. And then we have a Diane Keaton voiceover, and we're in college, the class of 1969.
Yes.
It's all the friends in college. It's all the girls. And what's funny is that they're these younger people, but they decided to use Bette Midler, Goldie Hawn, Diane Keaton, and Stockard Channing's voices. So the girls are like
so
lip syncing it, and then it,
yeah.
then you just hear the very obvious ADR where it's like just slightly off.
Yeah,
it's like watching some people's like best TikToks, like those like the lip syncing, and you're like, that's not bad, but I know it's not you.
It's a pretty good one there. You got
yeah.
that's not bad. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So okay,
that's awesome.
Then it cuts to Stockard Channing looking very sad and longingly at a picture of all of the girls celebrating after they graduated. She is drinking what looks like hard alcohol out of a tumbler.
She is looking bummed.
She doesn't look very happy.
She looks like
she's
she is a second away from just bursting it. There are worse things I could do
than to like, pour myself a drink
or two. It's that's when you're watching it, you're like, she has the same look on her face as when she's like looking at the longingly at the people.
Take cold showers every day.
I was cracking up. I'm like, oh my God, this is what happened to Rizzo. Look
yeah.
at this. I'm like, well, I mean, she looks like she's doing well for herself anyway.
Yeah.
I was pretty excited about
she's
that.
She's successful.
She's successful, clearly,
yeah.
but she's not happy.
So yeah, so she's not, feeling very good. But yeah, so she's looking, she's drinking and looking at all of these, you know, you see all these newspaper headlines, like these newspapers on the bed. And it's that you can only assume it's her ex-husband because she's so mad and she's like picking him up and throwing them. And
yeah.
Why did she buy them?
That's other thing. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
What are you purchasing?
Because that wasn't
that for?
Like the front of the New York Times. That was like a social.
She purchased that.
She sought out the aggravation.
I agree with that. But yeah, and then she also go on with what happens because it won't make any sense.
Well, okay, so she is we can only glean that she is upset because this is her husband and they are divorced and he has gotten remarried. And recently,
based on the title of the movie, that's all you can infer.
It's the First Wives Club, and you're like, okay, so she's drunk, and then she's mad at a newspaper. Who's on the newspaper? It's probably that man and not Heather Graham. So, it's probably also Heather Graham, but not quite as much on Heather Graham's blame plate.
Exactly.
So, she's just involved, Heather Graham, but it's mostly about
peripheral.
The ex-husband.
Yeah. Peripheral involvement by Heather
association.
Graham. Yeah, Heather Graham by association.
So she's all upset, and then she grabs her pearls because the pearls that she, it's her and the girls had the pearls at college and whatever, and she gives them to her housekeeper.
These are my college pearls.
Yeah.
These
are my college girl pearls.
These mean a lot to me. We all had pearls in college, and they're very important. There was things I could do. That's what I expected. But this never happened.
It did seem like she should have broken out in song.
She was at the same look on her face. That's her acting move.
Or it would be... Okay, so anyway, so she gives the pearls to the housekeeper, and then she also gives her two or three cards with an envelope.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, then it goes to the next morning where she's still drinking, and she puts on her fur coat, and she goes and stands outside. On
She's
the balcony.
Hammered.
And you'd think that she would be singing the song You Don't Own Me at this time.
Yes.
Because otherwise it doesn't make sense why they sing that song or why they bring that song up.
They
ever.
Just wanted to have it for the trailer.
Like, I get it that it's, you know, like it's a good Leslie Gore song and love that.
Yeah, but they're like, I think honestly, they're like, all right, we need something in the trailer where ladies.
That's like lady bashing, like men bashing.
Not even, just ladies having a chorus line where the other ladies look like, where these other ladies are going to see it and think it looks like fun. That's all.
Nope. It's because, excuse me, we're women of the 90s. Okay,
oh, that's right. Yeah, it's very much so.
You don't own me.
90s.
We're women of the 90s. Yeah. And oh, by the way, my daughter's a lesbian and that's great.
But they make it like...
She's a big lesbian.
It's a huge deal, but it's fine. Yeah. That's what's funny. It's still an enormous deal. They make it like, oh my God, but she's okay with it. So It's funny. I mean, good for Diane Keaton for being fine with it, but I mean, obviously we don't want her to...
Everybody should take a page from Diane Keaton.
That
she was
good,
just
yeah.
like, great, love that for you.
But even like everybody took it as like it was
and
the biggest
deal.
And
she respected her daughter's wishes to break the news to
her
father. Dad.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the grandma, but I don't know if that
the
was...
Dad break the news because the dad would be upset about it, assumingly.
She said, I would like to tell my dad that I want to break the news to him. Or I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so she, Stalker Channing waves to her neighbor who's on the treadmill or the elliptical trainer upstairs. And she's like, hi. And she looks young and whatever. And Stalker Channing looks very upset by this. And she is jumping onto the railing. And it's assumed that Stalker Channing...
Didn't pull like a Jenny from Forrest Gump. She actually took the dive.
So Diane Keaton is looking so very 90s. Diane Keaton here. And she's...
High baggy pants.
High baggy like tan pants.
The
circle tinted glasses.
Yeah, she is...
The turtleneck vest combo.
Man.
Oh.
Show you that. Her dress shirt button to the fucking top.
Gorgeous.
She is hardcore 1990. Yeah. What is this, 94? 96. She is very much...
Blunt, bobbing it hard.
Older, middle-aged lady, 96.
Yeah.
This is like, if your friend's mom was doing well, that's what she looked like in 1996,
She
was on her game.
Big pea coat looking fucking great.
Has a good job.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so she is looking very 90s, and the daughter is upset. We see the daughter... And we see the photo of all the girls from college by the voicemail. The answering machine.
Yeah, the voicemail.
I miss answering machines. Anyway, I know we have them, and I don't listen to them anymore, no. But I like the excitement, because we carry our phones with us the whole time.
Plus, don't you miss playing with a little tape? I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it was fun.
You felt like a spy, because it's a little mini tape, so you were like, you're switching it out. You felt like you should slip it in a jacket pocket when no one's looking.
Put it in an envelope.
Yeah, it's what it felt like.
And hand it to somebody in a back alley.
Huge pain in the ass, obviously.
Obviously.
This is way better and much easier now. I'm not like, oh, that's better, but there's something about a little cassette tape.
It's even so awesome now with the voicemails, because I don't even have to listen to it. I can just read the transcript and try to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's what I do with voicemails. I read the transcript and I'm like, okay, I can.
It's that person.
I'll call this person back.
Good enough.
Okay. So anyway, the daughter is here and she's very upset with Diane Keaton because Diane Keaton stayed at dad's house. It seems like they're not together at this point. Like, if you've never seen this movie before, it seems like Diane Keaton and her husband are on the outs. And the daughter is like, listen, Mom, I really thought that
Yeah. Well, he doesn't live there. She was with them. So, yeah, they're definitely not doing well, I don't think, if they're not living in the same place.
So the daughter does not seem to approve, but Diane Keaton's mom does seem to approve. She's like, oh, you got your senses back and, you know, whatever. The daughter tells her mom that she is a lesbian and she'd like to break the news to dad. This daughter seems like she's only interested in just like really damaging her father's.
But while being nice to him and calling him daddy all the time, it's very like, but in a manipulative way.
And then once you find out who he is, you're like, okay, I hate him too. That's fine.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll get to who the dad is in a minute.
Goldie Hawn.
He deserves everything he gets.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so Goldie Hawn wants to do some more cosmetic surgeries. We're just introduced to her character
now.
You
don't need it, Goldie.
No, you're gorgeous.
You're Goldie fucking Hawn.
No, this
you're perfect.
First Wives Club, that haircut that Goldie Hawn has... Ideally, I'd love that mop on my head. Oh, my God. That's beautiful.
It's top-notch Goldie Hawn, too, that hairdo.
It's a good feathered bang.
Oh, yeah,
it's like a curtain bang.
It's big. It's going places.
Layered,
I don't know how to fucking describe
it.
I'm a guy. I don't know how to describe it.
It's voluptuous.
But, yeah.
It's divine.
I said this during the movie. I was like, it's kind of unfair for Goldie Hawn, because if you look at her, you're either the funny one or you are the... hot one, and she somehow is the hot fun. That's not fair.
Yeah,
like in movies, you don't see that. Like other
but
people are like, that's fucked up. Other actresses got to be like, all right, that's fucked up. That's just not fair. How do I, you know?
I will say that the trio
doesn't exist a lot.
The trio of these ladies was very dynamic because Goldie
yeah,
Hawn
Diane
is
Keaton's
the hot
great.
And the fat one. Diane Keaton's
the
great.
Hot and the fat one.
No, why did I say that?
I don't know.
The hot one and the funny one. No, yeah. She's not fat at all.
They're all funny.
Diane Keaton is great. Bette Midler is hilarious. I love her.
Diane Keaton's America's aunt. And
yes,
then,
Aunt Diane. Oh, my God.
Aunt,
I love her.
And then you got Bette Midler, who's, you know, I don't know, she's Bette Midler. So she's
everybody's
a,
other
she's
aunt.
Always pretty good. Yeah, everybody's fun aunt that, you know.
Yeah, smokes pot with you in the outside.
Yeah, talk shit with you. She's good. She tells you what the stuff your mom did when she was a kid.
Yeah. You can sit outside at her house and drink some wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
Cool Aunt Bette.
Yeah. So... that Rob Reiner is her doctor. He says he won't do it. Apparently, Goldie Hawn is also divorced now. So he's like, I don't care what you do. Like, it's not a big deal. You have to face the music.
Yeah, see, I can't give you enough. If I give
you're
you any
45.
More collagen, you're going to look like your lips got sucked into a vacuum cleaner. That was the thing. And she's like, well, what about this? And then he had another. You're going to look like I'll do this if I do that too.
Yeah.
You're going to look like.
He really cared about. Her.
He did.
He's like, listen, I'm not going to operate on your face anymore. It's too much.
He told
Which
her,
is good. You need a Rob Reiner.
He told you you're 45. Why don't you start playing parts that are for you?
That's what I mean. And also, like, age gracefully. You don't need to, Darcy on 90 Day Fiancé. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What are you going to look like when you're 60, girl?
That's... Oh, and again,
when is it going to be enough?
I'm not taking any shots. I get
no,
it.
No,
if you wanna,
vanity, great.
I understand if you want to you want to look your best and however it makes you feel good. But that's the thing, though. A person like Darcy and State, like they take it to an extreme where you're like, you're in your mid-40s.
When is it going to be enough?
You have now you are on maintenance duty for like 14 different things till you die. Like if you ever don't have the money or just get tired of it, then you're going to. I don't know. You're not going to be happy. I feel.
No.
I feel like I don't know. I just feel like there's pain in the future for anybody who's rebuilding themselves at 40.
Go ahead, do any improvement to yourself that you want to do, as long as it makes you happy and it's not.
Just don't make it an addiction like people have. Like some people have like addictions and it becomes almost a thing that they can't stop doing because it's like, you know.
You're wonderful.
Well, just one more little tuck and just one more little thing. And if I lift that one thing a little more and then it'll be perfect.
Is that a wrinkle?
Yeah. And then they pull this out. Yeah. So then that looks weird. And then you're, you know, everything you do has a.
Yeah.
It's like physics.
Yeah.
So what, an opposite reaction.
We meet Bette Midler and her son, and she's screaming at her son in their apartment. Did you see this wall art? It was just ABCDEF, ABCDEF, like over and over again. And I was like,
I don't know what that was.
Should I have the first couple of letters of the alphabet?
What was it, from a kindergarten class they jacket from?
But
what happened?
It was like huge.
Yeah.
And had a really like ornate.
Like in the living space, not in a bedroom or.
Yeah.
It was really
just
weird.
Just to let you know, this is the beginning of the alphabet.
Repeatedly.
Anyway, so
just to get you started.
She's making her son listen to a Hebrew tape in his cassette player so that he can learn how to play Hebrew. Speak Hebrew, not play Hebrew.
Son, go play Hebrew now.
Oh my God.
Go play.
My brain is not working. Okay.
Go outside and play Hebrew.
He can learn how to speak Hebrew for his bar mitzvah because his father is paying for his bar mitzvah and his bar mitzvah only.
Yeah.
So obviously we understand that she is also divorced and her ex-husband is a turd.
Apparently.
And he'll only pay, like, he doesn't help her out with money. He just only is going to pay for the bar mitzvah. So that,
she's poor. That's her. Like, Goldie Hawn is the, like, rich, famous one, glamorous one.
Yeah.
Diane Keaton's, like, the studious one.
And she's also a big pushover.
And she's a pushover. And then Bette Midler's the mouthy, poor one, who they keep calling fat, even though she's not really fat.
Exactly.
Everyone in this movie
Diane
calls her
Keaton
fat three
is
times.
The pushover.
Yeah.
And then Goldie Hawn is like, she's a drunk, but she's like, you know, rich and pretty and whatever.
Yeah, and famous.
And famous and has that stuff. And then, like, the only thing that they have to say about Bette Midler is that she's a mom and she's fat.
She's a mom, she's mouthy, and she's fat. That's
and
all
I was
they
like,
say.
I love her. Like, what are you talking about? She's not even fat at all.
At one point, they describe about her, I think it's Diane Keaton that says, and you have the verbal stuff like she's like you talk good. That was basically
oh my god
she said.
Yeah, like, it was really it's embarrassing.
She's not even, that's the thing, but she's not fat. She's, I mean, she's not like size fucking two. She's not Goldie Hawn,
she
but
great.
She's
in
looks
great
fine.
Shape.
Yeah, I don't understand why they keep calling her fat. She has to wear too in the beginning. Later on, her character loses weight and then she's like just as herself.
Yeah,
but
so
in the beginning,
wearing bigger clothes.
She wears like big frumpy clothes to try to make herself look heavier because she's not that heavy.
No.
So it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I love that the insult is that, like, you like pie. I'm like, yeah, everybody likes pie.
Yeah.
I love pie. What
I would love
doing?
Some pie.
Yeah.
We can stop right now, call it a night, and I'll eat pie. If you say, I have pie, we need to stop recording, I will say goodbye.
We do have lemon meringue pie.
Go haggle yourselves, everybody. We're eating
okay,
pie.
Okay, anyway, so the whole gang is divorced, is what we understand.
All divorced.
Well, and
well,
one
not
of them
Diane
has
Keaton,
reason.
Though.
No, she's separated.
Separated.
But Stockard Channing. Well, she's divorced as well.
She's divorced. So, yeah.
Diane Keaton tells her mom that she is controlling, according to her therapist. So, like, one of the main storylines in this movie is that Diane Keaton is seeing a therapist.
Yes.
And she's really, I think she's seeing some benefits from it. It seems like she's learning to apologize less and she's, like, working on. But essentially, she's seeing the therapist to try to get back together with her husband.
Exactly. And therapy in the 90s was a very, like, prominent. I mean, it is now, but in the 90s, it was like, it was in everything. I mean,
yeah.
Frasier was a number one show. The fucking Sopranos was around that.
Mm-hmm.
Analyze This, all that shit.
Yeah.
Therapy was a big deal. They even have the kind of trendy at the time setup of the her on, like, the lounge with the doctor behind her.
Yeah.
Talking, like, which seems really odd.
That is very odd.
It's an odd around. I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing back there?
Yeah.
I'm constantly cranking my head around going, my neck is hurting now.
Diane Keaton and her mom are walking home and they find out that once they get in the house, they find out that Stockard Channing has committed suicide on, like, they hear it on the news.
Yeah.
And then Goldie Hawn, she's going out to go get a newspaper or coffee or whatever, and she sees on a tabloid that Stockard Channing has passed. And Goldie shows up to the funeral with Maggie Smith, I think it is.
She passed a bunch of windows on the way down. That's what she passed.
Oh.
Boom, Stockard Channing. Take that.
That's not good.
I don't know why.
Thanks.
I don't know. Like, this whole thing is based around, oh, poor Stockard Channing, but, like, she's a privileged ass.
She was, fuck, she like, was neglected as a wife.
Fuck out of here. She's rich and fucking privileged and can do anything with her life. There's a lot of women who would throw her off that balcony to be in her goddamn place.
That's
and she's
true.
Going, oh, there's things life's I hard. Can do. I'm so drunk and sad in my mink coat, I'll jump off the balcony now.
But she,
it's ridiculous.
We're not trying to dismiss her sadness.
I'm not dismissing sadness. I'm just saying.
But it's good then, because what the girls build at the end would have helped somebody like her. Maybe she could have talked to somebody.
And that's a separate issue. You're right. You're right. But that's a separate issue. Where do you like, because you always feel bad and you don't want anybody to be suicidal, obviously.
No.
And depression's a huge thing and we all go through this and some people obviously way worse than others. But at what point does it become, oh, fuck you with your privileged ass. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. At what point? Like,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? If who does it, you know, like, where's the line of where we're angry at them, not for killing themselves, but being like, what are you so damn sad about? My life is way worse than yours.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that had
that's
it harder
what I mean.
Than Stockard Channing's. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, like that line. So that's where I was going with that anyway. So
It looks like Stockard Channing's ex-husband showed up to the funeral with his new wife, Heather Graham. Mm-hmm. Diane Keaton's there with her mom. Bette Midler's there with some interior designer friend or something
Bronson
like that.
Bronson Pinchot. Balki Bartokomus for you 80s sitcoms fans there.
And then Goldie Hawn shows up with Maggie Smith. So, you know, we learn that showing up with Maggie Smith is a big deal. I don't know why.
Apparently.
But I mean, I would want to go. I would want to go hang out with them. So I don't.
Hey,
that's fine.
Why not?
Diane Keaton, Goldie Hawn. And oh, my God. No. Because they are so disgusted with his appearance. Like, O.J. Simpson, the People versus O.J. Simpson biopic.
Yeah, yeah.
Of Selma Blair.
Yeah.
When O.J. showed up to Nicole's funeral. And
yeah.
When,
like,
I do say O.J., not Cuba Gooding Jr. Because he was clearly O.J.
He was embodying O.J. At the moment.
Method acting.
Oh, to the extreme.
Selma Blair was like, I can't believe that he came. Like, that's what these people were acting like. They were acting like, I can't believe that he came, because it's obviously his fault that
That she was sad.
You know, not with us anymore.
Which, I mean, so let's say you don't like somebody. So you're supposed to be, you're supposed to stay with them so they don't throw themselves off
but
the fucking balcony?
They
I don't understand
just,
that.
They were just really acting like, I can't believe that he, like, of course, like, that's his ex-wife.
It maybe shouldn't have brought Heather Graham. That was a little.
Yeah, I mean, that's classless.
But it is his, if they're married, it is his fucking wife. So,
and
I mean,
also,
I don't know.
It was so funny because then somebody was like, well, you have no idea what he's feeling. And then it cuts to him and he's like rubbing Heather Graham's boob with his finger.
Which is a lot.
I was like, at the funeral? Like, in your front row?
Yeah. No, he's right up in viewing area there. He's,
no, that's not good. Don't be rubbing Heather Graham's boob at the funeral.
If his wife's ghost came out of her body, that's the first thing it would say would be.
And she should absolutely smack
rubbing.
Him across the face. Like, I would be like, okay, Gil?
Yeah.
We're going to have problems.
It's
I'm haunting
funny.
You.
Yeah, I'm going to haunt both of you.
Diane Keaton, Goldie Hawn, and Bette Midler catch up after the funeral. Goldie Hawn has the haircut of my dreams, like I said. Diane Keaton is super awkward. They obviously haven't seen each other in years.
Diane
which was
Keaton's
so refreshing
very...
to watch because now you have to like add people on Facebook or on Instagram, like if you've only worked with them for like 2 hours at work. And, or
you're
like when I was in high school, like I was friends with everybody. And I'm like, why?
It's no.
I don't want. And then they're like, do you want to come to the 10-year reunion? No.
No.
I've been keeping up with everything that you guys have been doing on Facebook. I don't
seen
need
all
to.
Of you.
Yeah. I know how many hairstyles you've been through. I know you have your kid is 8 months and then 9 months and then 10 months and then 11 months and.
That's what I mean.
I know
that's,
what foods they like to eat. Like, I know everything.
All my old friends, I'm like, I'm going to just predict you're fatter and half of you are balder. That's it. That's my prediction.
But
generally.
I mean, that's so, I just, I keep up with all of them. And I'm like, I don't need to go to a bar and hang out with you.
Shit, no.
No.
That's the last thing. I didn't want to hang out with these people then.
No.
I had to because it was the only geographical proximity I had to anybody. So.
Do you want to FaceTime me and we could talk on the phone and eat Funyuns at the same time? Like, that's what we got.
I'll do that with you.
We don't have to FaceTime each other.
No, but I'll eat Funyuns with you.
Let's do that. Okay, so anyway.
After the pie.
Oh, no. Maybe before. Okay, so they're all saying that their friend Stockard Channing. They're very sad for her, and I think it's because they're divorced as well, because they're like, she gave him the best years of her life. And like...
They all feel...
They're 45.
That's the other
they're
thing.
They're not like, we'll never find love. You guys are all beautiful, and you're 45.
And that's a time period thing, too. Because in the 90s, like...
Oh, yeah, this is the 90s.
Yeah, 45, for any men, women like that, you were done. Like, it was like, oh, Christ, start over at 45. Just get a fucking cat, man, because it's over. That's what it was. It shouldn't be like that, but that's how people took it.
Whereas you are done.
45 now, people are like, I'm going to start college, and then I'm going to do this. They act like they're going to live to be 120 now. People are just, they just go and do shit until they drop dead. So it's a different thing now. Nobody thinks about age. But so when you watch it now with this eye.
They're like, we're half dead.
Oh, they're like mostly dead. They're like, I mean, Christ, we're pretty much into retirement
here. And they keep calling
these
people's first wives. She's 12.
She's 12 and bulimic. And
she's a toddler.
She's a toddler. Yeah, she's in eighth grade or whatever.
And I'm like, you guys are only 45.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That chick's 24. You know, Sarah Jessica Parker looks the same age as Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I fucking said it. She looks the same age as Goldie Hawn. She doesn't look 12 at all. They should have switched her and Heather Graham.
They really should have. Heather Graham looks young.
Well, she was really young back then. She was like 19 years old back then, but. She was super fucking, maybe 20, 21 or something back then.
That's wild.
Because when she was in Drugstore Cowboy, she was like 18. Oh, yeah. She was really fucking young.
So Goldie reveals to Diane Keaton and Bette Midler that she is divorced, and Bette Midler reveals that she is divorced, and she says that her ex-husband, Morty, has a new girlfriend. She's 12 years old. She's a toddler. She's 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Diane Keaton is in denial about her marriage. She thinks her marriage is fine, but does end up revealing that they are separated. The gals are giggling about that. And then one of my favorite lines here is, come on, Brenda, it's the 90s, for God's sakes.
They say that line, it's the 90s, is used several times in this movie. Well, it's the 90s. It was like, you could get out of a scene with, it's the 90s,
that's,
and a shrug
90s.
Of the shoulder and walk out of the room, and then you just go to the next scene.
Why are you doing that? Because it's the 90s.
It's the 90s. That's what I mean.
Okay.
You could answer a question that didn't have an answer with, it's the 90s, and a shrug, and if you turn, you could cut on that, and that was the end of a fucking, so you could cut to commercial on a sitcom on that. Like, it's,
that's the 90s.
For 10 years, people could do that. What a gift to poor comedy writers at that point. Stuck.
I guess
comedy
we could do
writers.
That now. We could be like, that's 2020.
For 1 year. Well, that's 20. But that would be like, well, I don't know. My car caught on fire, which then caught my house on fire, which made it blow up, killed 5 endangered bald eagles out of the sky. They fell while still burning all of my neighbor's homes.
Oh, and I just tested positive for the coronavirus.
17 infants died at a babysitter's house over there. I have the fucking coronavirus, and Belarus just took over North Dakota, and that's what's going on in 2020. You'd be like, what the fuck is happening? I don't understand. That's different. It's different then. That's the 90s.
Yeah.
That's the 90s.
It's a little bit more like, it's definitely going to be like, it's 2020.
That's the 90s. Would be like, I can drink a couple glasses of wine and blow a guy by a dumpster. That's the 90s. And you could walk away and people would be like, I know. That's fine. But not quite 2020.
So the gals are drunk now, and they are, you know, now it's the evening. Lunch has turned into dinner, and they're talking about being... women of a certain age, again, 45, that's not a certain age, but anyway.
No, they're perfectly viable, all of these women.
Another line from Bette Midler, which kind of gives you the vibe of what apparently 45-year-olds were thinking in 1996, is bye-bye love, hello Pop-Tarts. And I'm like, what's wrong with that?
I mean, I like Pop-Tarts. Yeah. The theme of this movie is you hit 40, if you don't have a man, get a cat, because it is fucking over.
I felt so bad.
Get yourself some big pants and a cat, because it's you are fucked. You are super done. That's it.
Because in the 90s, your pants were so, like, they were so, like, the pant leg, it was a real wide leg.
That was a wide, on ladies' pants, we're talking, like, dressed, like, adult women's dress pants was like, what's, they used, you could have done, like a giant hotel windows drapes, and they just turn them into one small woman's pants somehow. They're just so wide. How wide were your legs?
Because
you couldn't even see your feet.
Diane Keaton's pants She could have safely landed to the ground had she jumped off the balcony.
And they could have, and her
she'd be like, damn it.
And her belt could have been attached to her bra because the pants were that high.
Oh my God.
Bra
and
level.
They were still, like, the pants were still, like, to the ground.
To the ground. I mean, you couldn't see feet, man. They were just, they covered the whole feet. It was like women's dress JNCOs. That's what they were, basically. If you're more older than 17 years old, you'll know
That's the 90s.
That's the 90s. And then they'd walk away.
Okay, so Diane Keaton is at the therapist's office now, and the therapist seems to be asking her a lot of questions, like about her self-esteem and all of that stuff. And she's talking to Diane Keaton about how nice she is.
Yeah, she's saying you're too nice and you gotta assert yourself.
So she says to get angry and, like, hit me with this, like, this pool, like, noodle water gun.
Which, again, was a 90s thing. You'd see that a lot in movies and TV, like, the, you know, hit each other therapy.
Yeah.
It's very
and
weird.
So she's like, hit me. And I'm like, wow, what a crazy therapy appointment. Like,
is this
Fight Club?
Yeah, that would be amazing. If Diane Keaton got up and just jacked her with a forearm
if
in the teeth, I would have fucking lost it.
If it was the First Wives Fight Club,
oh
my God.
That's
what a
movie.
Missed opportunity.
How did nobody make that?
And they're like,
as a parody.
Ah, he's dating a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Ah. Like, and like fighting like somebody.
Now, First Fight Club came out like, what, 3 years later? So,
I
must say, SNL, you really swing and a miss on that one. For
First
the second,
Wives Club, Fight
for
Club.
For the second Fight Club came out, you didn't make First Wives Fight Club as a sketch. You
have an
up.
Opportunity to make it now.
No one would get it now. No one watches SNL unless
That's
they're
true.
Eight. I think it's like 9 and under watch SNL now, I think.
You
right?
think?
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't know. I love that 80 Bryant.
Yeah, she's funny, but that doesn't make... I'm not going to watch a show with 45 people in it for one person who's funny every third sketch.
Goldie Hawn and Victor Garber, who plays Mr. Andrews on the Titanic.
Yeah.
We are at Goldie Hawn's and his divorce proceedings. There's random voiceover of Diane Keaton throughout the movie where, like, she... It's almost like they just were like, okay, let's try to advance this because we don't know what transitional scene
that was
to film
not
here, but it was never consistent.
That was not in the script, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those when they edit it, they're like, we need, like, something what are they doing?
We need, like, 25 more minutes of scenes to explain some of this
stuff. Or we'll just have Diane Keaton do some voiceover. Yeah. All right, let's
so
fuck
they,
it.
So they settled for voiceover. Bette Midler is the dark-haired frumpy friend, and she sees her ex-husband at a shopping mall or whatever.
She's with Bronson Pinchot.
And she sees Morty in the store, and so she starts verbally assaulting
him. Morty, by the way,
him.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Morty is Nick Tortelli on Cheers.
Yay, Nick Tortelli!
Whose daughter-in-law was in Teen Witch there on Cheers. His Cheers daughter-in-law. So the 90s movies and late 80s, they just fucking rated Cheers casts. That's all it was. Everybody was on Cheers at some point.
Yeah.
And Nick Tortelli's in all of our movies.
He's been in all of our movies. He's always a dad.
He's
always
clueless dad.
Yeah.
He's in everything. It's fucking crazy. I don't know what, it's so strange. He worked so much. I don't remember him working this much that time period, but God damn it, is he in everything.
Maybe he should run for president.
Nick Tortelli?
Yeah.
I think is he alive?
Let me look that up
I think
quick.
So. He's pretty old, I think. But I mean, so is the other two running for president, I guess.
No,
at the
it
time,
says
so.
He is 80.
All right, well.
So we could have Nick Tortelli or the ghost of Nick Tortelli.
The ghost of Nick Tortelli, 2024. 2024, the disembodied spirit of the actor who played Nick Tortelli.
Everybody's favorite dad.
But he has to be playing Nick Tortelli the whole
time. So, Sarah Jessica Parker is his new girlfriend, and she's a total asshole to Bette Midler. She makes a comment about how fat Bette Midler
she's
is.
Like,
I was like, wow, ballsy move.
And she's like, why don't you try to find something in your size, and makes like a big...
Yeah, rude.
Like,
I'm like, okay, first of all, pretty sure Bette Midler could throw you against the wall. No probs.
Well, yeah.
And also, like, why wouldn't you just sit there and just be quiet?
That's the other thing. And, you know, and
you
fuck that.
To, yeah.
Bette Midler is a gem. She should have said.
She is.
I wish she could have looked deep in her eyes and just said, when you're. By the time the 2010s come around, you'll be able to play a witch without any makeup. Enjoy. Bye.
Yeah, don't worry.
Have a good one. Take a fucking hike.
I'm going to have a lot of makeup
twat.
On.
Yeah.
Because I am an angel.
Because I'm an angel. Exactly. That's what Bette Midler should have said.
Yeah.
But that would have been really making fun of more.
That's biased writing.
That's biased writing. And they had no idea. They had no idea what was going to happen to Sarah Jessica Parker as well.
No, we had no idea.
No.
Anyway, so Goldie Hawn is getting drinks with Timothy Oliphant. It seems to be a meeting about like a movie or something.
Yeah, he's a director, a
and
hot young director.
He,
as they say,
he is making weird comments about showcasing, you know, that she's going to be the mother
he's
and
like,
that showcasing every wrinkle.
He's like overhead lighting, unforgiving, every crack, every wrinkle. I want to see like as the crypt keeper.
It's so rude.
Yeah, she was like, oh, God.
Yeah, I would be horrified.
She thought she
like,
was playing the daughter, not the mother.
That's a very Jenna Maroney
that was the, exactly.
thing that happened.
When she was doing that, I'm like, oh, my God, this is very 30 Rock.
The mother. They want me to play the mother.
She had the exact same scene as Jenna Maroney later on.
Goldie Hawn is getting plastered at the bar, as she should be, because they were treating her like she was ancient, and she looks great.
Looks terrific.
Diane Keaton is...
Nowadays, she could... Nowadays, that actress would crush. She'd work in that. She'd be a leading lady all over the place.
Diane Keaton's mom had the line of the movie where she... So we cut to them, and then she says to Diane Keaton, I don't mean to criticize, but you have no feel for noodles.
I love that. Well, Diane Keaton just looks at her like, I don't even know how to take that. That was the look. Diane Keaton's such a great actress.
It's valid criticism.
It is. She's such a great actress. The way she looked at her was perfect. Like, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Some
it was
people
so good.
Really do not have a feel for noodles.
No,
and you're like,
don't.
What is this macaroni salad that you have given
Why
me?
Did you do this mushy shit?
It's Why?
In, yeah, macaroni shouldn't be in shreds. Well, what did you
no,
do to this? Too
what
much.
What has happened?
Or it's
it
crunchy.
It needs to just be a little bit over al dente.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
anyway.
What I mean, depending on what you
It's a
putting.
Minute over al dente. If the box Maybe. Says that, then yeah, but you go like 30 seconds, you look at
you
it.
You pull one out and you eat it. What the fuck? That's what I always did. When you're a kid in
you
an Italian
your
family, your lip is the lip that's getting burned. They'll call you over and go, Ma, come here, taste the pasta. And you have to, that's your job.
Yeah, this is your sacrificial
To taste it and go,
lip.
One more minute. And then they go, but they trust the 8-year-old to tell them one more minute, even
you're
though
like,
this
cool.
whole dinner for everybody.
It's cool. I'll have like a blister on my lip, Grandma.
And they want you to put it right, no blowing on. She's like, hurry up, because then you're not going to know if it's accurate
it
with the other noodles. So
noodles is a matter of inches.
To throw it in your mouth. She's already burned herself on three of them, I'm sure.
Yeah. So anyway, Bette Midler. Oh, okay. So the Diane Keaton's husband wants to have dinner with her. She's like, oh my God, I bet you he's over all of his commitment phobia and if I'm going to poison him or not. Bette Midler goes to dinner by herself and they make a big deal out of it. He's like, oh, are you here alone
then,
to like take the chair?
And I'm like, they take the chair and bring her a cat and just put it in her lap. That,
yeah, they might as well. That was so sad for her.
So fucking ridiculous.
It was so ridiculous.
She's a nice lady, dressed nice, going out to eat by herself. Who
gives
a
sorry.
Shit? She looked
happy. Is her alone ass? Is her money not good?
Yeah.
My money's green. It spends here, right?
If I see a woman eating alone in a restaurant, like I'm not like, oh, that poor lady. I'm like, oh man, she's
good for her. She probably got out of
that.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I'm like, good for her, man. She's doing her thing. Fuck yeah. She's getting some time to herself.
Yeah,
this is good.
She's getting some time out of the house for a minute. Good
Even
for
if
you.
She's single, fuck it. Who cares? Yeah. She's doing her thing.
So Diane Keaton, it turns out her husband is the guy from Seventh Heaven.
The diddler.
The dad from Seventh Heaven.
He deserves everything he gets.
He sucks.
And he's the least offensive husband, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's not fucking a teenager. He's not...
Victor.
He's not,
he's not
an embezzler.
Yeah.
He's not like, he didn't do any crimes.
Yeah. No mafia involvement.
Nothing. It's just Diane Keaton helped him a lot with his business.
Yeah.
That's the only.
She like bought part of it and then he still got to stay on.
Later on.
Yeah.
So it was like, he got the least out
of
his ass kicked too.
Diane Keaton ends up making out with him and apparently they, had sex earlier on in the evening. She's talking about moving him in. And he tells her that he loves her, but he wants a divorce. They had just banged, so gross. The therapist shows up, and she is Seventh Heaven guy's new girlfriend. Disgusting. But that's Diane Keaton's therapist, so she's very upset, understandably so.
Yeah, it's like illegal.
And she didn't mention once, like, she's like, oh, this is your girlfriend and blah, blah, blah. And then she didn't say, like, oh, my God, we just had sex. Like,
yeah.
Because I feel like the therapist deserves to know that.
We just banged.
We just had sex. So you might want to have him take a shower first before, yeah. You know, because obviously you're here to, I don't know.
You're in a hotel room, so.
Anyway, so I was just like, expose this man for being disgusting.
Yes, and
we
also
just had sex, and like, also, you're not my therapist.
Also, anymore. You know what, dude? Tell him about the kids. What about that? What about those fucking kids?
Yeah,
you disgusting pervert.
You pig.
Jesus.
The girls all end up getting the letter in the mail from Stockard Channing. They finally got the letter. She says that she wishes. I wish I had talent like Elise, Brenda's humor, and your strength, Annie. And then she says that loneliness is the real problem. So then now this is like the major plot point of the movie.
Yeah.
The gals get together and they talk about their loneliness and how, you know, lovely they are. And they don't deserve to be treated like this by their husbands. And I mean, agreed, but also like maybe.
Also fucking then move on with your life. If this was, okay, if this was the first husband's club and it was three guys sitting around saying, my wife got sick of me and got somebody better, like, you'd be, everybody in the audience would be like, you fucking losers, and find somebody else and fucking move on. Yeah, they found somebody better because you're a fucking slob now. Look, that's what it would be. This wouldn't be a sad movie on them. It would be, what a glorious thing these women did by finding themselves 25-year-old attractive men instead of these fucks. That's what it would be. It would turn into that. That's fucking hilarious. But with men and women, it's so funny. It's just what?
Get a job, loser.
Yeah,
who cares?
Get a fucking job. She was paying for your shit for 20 years. Yeah, you should get a job, asshole.
I'm so lonely. Who cares? Lose some weight.
Yeah. Get a fucking treadmill and a job and get back out there, fat boy. That's what they'd say. That's what they'd be telling the Bette Midler character. That's what his friends would be saying. Hey, you fat fool. Well, yeah, you're a fat fuck now. Look at you. You came from the bathroom. You're sweating.
Men are so weird.
We were awful to each other. That's what we would be saying to each other. Not
That's
you
so
poor thing.
Nice.
That's how we are. We can't help it. It's how we're raised.
Oh, my God.
That's like how men
That's
operate.
Really not good.
Who can take the most of that and dish it back out? That's good. That's a good thing. You're a person everybody likes.
No.
Yeah, it's weird. Especially back home, it's the fucking, God, it's the center of the universe for that. Of ball breaking.
That's really sad.
We break each other's balls when we were five. It's just a ingrained thing.
That's really sad. But anyway, so they're talking about doing revenge, and Bette Midler is just kind of like, listen, I don't want him to be hurt. I just want him to be embarrassed. And
yes.
I'm like, I guess I get it. Like, if you are 45 and then he's going out with like a 21-year-old or something like that. And then but like in the 90s, that was embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was the 90s. And that was embarrassing.
The 90s.
Whereas now it's kind of a little bit more like, who cares? Like,
now
you
you'd see that and go, yeah, what do you expect?
And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's a rich guy.
And you're like, look at his midlife crisis.
Exactly.
We are witnessing something.
Exactly. Yeah. It would be making fun of him about it. We found a way to make fun.
Well, you just told me that you could take it.
Yeah, we don't care.
So, yeah.
That's what I mean. We don't give a shit. It doesn't matter.
So, anyway, Bette Midler wants him to be dumped, and she says, they make the declaration that the plan is that all the first wives in the world should get together and stand up for their dignity and self-esteem.
Yeah. You should stop worrying about your ex-husbands and move on and
That's
live your
what
life
I mean.
Better.
So, but once we find out like the bad things about them at the end, you're like, okay, that one should not be even close to spending jail time when he has a 13-year-old son. Like, let's not go crazy
here. Yeah,
and then the other
get a
one
lawyer
should
and
be,
take him to court,
and then the other one should be in prison.
One guy should be in jail. The advertising guy, Seventh Heaven guy, gets away. Pretty much, this is what I don't get. The big torment is that she took over half the agency and brought in huge accounts. And at the end, like, they show her doing all this work and all these people
and then
around.
He's sitting and reading the advertising age.
He's still a partner. He makes half the money. What the fuck does he care? Let her work her balls off. So your thing was to come in and basically make it so this guy doesn't have to work as hard, but he still makes a shitload of money.
Yeah.
Oh, you poor guy.
Yeah. And he just kind of had to invest in the business, which is a business write off.
That's what I mean. They had him, they make him write checks to charity, and the guys are like, I can't believe I have to do this. It's like, you're a fucking rich guy. You do it anyway.
Yeah.
You'd be like, thank you. I need write-offs if you're a millionaire like that. What the fuck?
No, so Goldie Hawn's ex-husband should absolutely be in prison. Like, he should absolutely be in prison.
Yeah.
Nick Tortelli just hey, you fucking idiot. You need Uncle Carmine to put you in the meat locker and be like, what are you doing?
Every store in the world back home was started like that. Who cares? Yeah. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, just stop it now. Who cares?
Exactly. It was 20 years ago. Yeah. If you went to the cops with that, they go, so you're telling me 20 years ago this guy sold a stolen microwave?
Yeah,
what the fuck do I care?
Yeah. So anyway, the first wives club first meeting has occurred. After the meeting, they go to a gay bar to go see Diane Keaton's daughter. She found her daughter there. Bette Midler found some lady at the bar who's crying because her partner left her of 18 years. And then they bond at the bar. The daughter, seems to be very excited about the plot to take down her dad and Bill and Morty.
Oh, yeah. She's jacked about this.
She's like, first, she's like embarrassed that her mom is, you know, like talking to her at the gay bar. And she's like, Mom, this is a gay bar. She goes, yeah. And like, she's like, I don't care.
Yeah. She's like yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah. And then girl that the daughter is talking to is looking at like, excuse me, Diane Keaton. I'm like, excuse me. No, you should be thrilled to have Diane Keaton in your presence.
You should really be. Meanwhile, Goldie Hawn's the star of the show.
Dancing.
She's a movie star.
Her ass off.
She's got an Oscar in this movie and everybody recognizes her. So she's like dancing. But everybody's gathered around her.
This dance really felt like it was cathartic for her because she really has a drinking problem. And I think she needed some joy in her life.
Absolutely.
And just like dancing and having people like dancing and telling her that she's beautiful.
She's loving it.
They're like, oh my God, I think you're so beautiful. I think you're gorgeous. Holy shit, I think you're hot. And
Rock
she's
it
like,
out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, it was
the
just
boost
awesome.
She needed.
Yeah, you need an ego boost
you
every
do.
Once in a while.
I was happy that she got it there. These ladies like her.
Yeah, she had some serotonin going. She was dancing. She was getting it in. So I was excited for Goldie there. And then she's Goldie Hawn goes to... Oh, sorry. The daughter asks for a job at the dad's advertising agency, you know, as part of the plan. So she says, yeah.
It's going to be a mole.
Mm-hmm. Mole, mole, mole. Goldie Hawn goes to the office that her ex-husband works at. And she starts like picking up these assets, you know, around like a couch, a desk or whatever. And she's going to liquidate them as what the divorce was because he was saying he also wanted alimony from her.
Yeah.
And
he's a film producer that produced all of her movies. So,
yeah. It's the 90s, occurs a lot. This is where the first one was, I think, where
second
Goldie
one.
Hawn. Oh, yeah. Second one. Goldie Hawn says to
her
Vincent
husband.
Garber or Victor Garber.
Yeah.
She's like, it's the 90s, Bill. Minimize.
Yeah, downsize.
Oh,
that's
downsize,
what she says.
Right.
He's like, well, what am I supposed to do? Because they literally took the desk out from under him as he was working. He's in his office. And what am I supposed to do? And she said, it's the 90s, Bill. Downsize, which I don't understand.
It's the 90s.
Why?
Yeah. What am I supposed to do without a desk? It's the 90s.
Yeah.
Improvise. Like it was always like some command. It's
any
the
way
90s
you could get,
command.
Any ridiculous scene that has no answer, you could just get out of it by, it's the 90s.
Yeah.
Bye and walk out.
Comma, and then insert command
and
here.
Then make cut away.
Yeah.
Because that's a big punchline.
So now we're at Temple. We are watching Bette Midler's son's bar mitzvah. Bette Midler's uncle is Sicilian and he seems to be connected.
Yes, Uncle Carmine.
Uncle Carmine.
Uncle, yeah.
And he says to her, because Morty brings Sarah Jessica Parker to the bar mitzvah church thing.
Yes, the bar mitzvah.
No, the temple. I know what it is.
The
but,
bar mitzvah church.
Because I don't think she went to the party. She only went to the...
Shabbat shalom, everybody. Enjoy bar mitzvah church this Sunday
or
this Saturday.
Church.
This Sunday, too. Jesus Christ. This is just as bad.
No. So she seems to be upset that Morty brought Sarah Jessica Parker to the bar mitzvah. And you know what? Yeah. Probably not. Like, does Sarah Jessica Parker need to go there? She really doesn't seem like she seems to be
no,
into the kid.
They're not married.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If they were married, that's a stepmom. I get it. But they're not married. He doesn't need to bring the...
So,
all it's going to do is irritate everybody.
On the way out, Uncle Carmine says to Bette Midler that, you know, on behalf of the family and on behalf of my brother, may he rest in peace.
Sign of the cross.
Sign of the cross.
Let's get a sandwich.
I've never seen a man put away meatballs like that.
Oh.
Anyway, he said, I want to let you know, Morty is garbage.
Morty is garbage, and I would be happy to take care of him for you. So he
I
offers
was like,
murder.
Wow. that's a great uncle, I suppose. Which James, by the way, always tells me that the world needs Italian uncles.
Well, yeah.
He's like, everybody needs an Italian uncle because they always break your balls.
They break your balls. They mess with you. They take your ego down a notch while building you up at the same time. You know, they try to tell you you could do things after they tell you that you're an idiot.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that they do. And if you ever need any help, they're more than happy to do anything for you, including and preferably violence.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So everyone needs a good Italian uncle.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you when you're fucking up. That's the good part.
Oh, you're an Italian uncle now.
I know.
This is fun.
That's what I gotta do.
Well, the kid's only one and a half now. So
hey, you little bastard. What are you fucking doing? I got to do that from now on.
Oh, my God. And I'll be
You know fucking good, you little bastard.
Oh, my God. I'm such a good aunt. Yeah. I'm so fun. Okay. Anyway, I'm aunt of everyone's children now. Okay. He also tells that Bette Midler that a lot of Morty's stuff, you know, fell off the trucks, if you know what I'm saying.
Everything that he sold the first year he was open
fell off a few trucks. May or may not have... he's very like, well, a friend of mine, like he's
very vaguely mafia. Yeah. So,
Jesse Spano is in the next scene and she is shacked up with Victor Garber. She's an aspiring actress. Apparently, she really loves Goldie Hawn. When Goldie Hawn shows up to take her stuff out of the apartment, she wants Jesse Spano. Jesse Spano wants Goldie Hawn to be the mom in the play that she's going
to
be in.
Yeah, she wants to be. She wants her to be her.
Yeah, she wants her to
play. Old mom.
Yeah, she wants her to be the old mom. Goldie Hawn gets mad, and then she brings up to the girls that she owns a building downtown. It's currently vacant, and then they make it their like their first wives' headquarters.
Their headquarters for this club to.
Yeah, I don't know what they do at this time. We have no idea what they're doing.
Who knows?
But this is a lot of effort. That you know, she repossessed Victor, the husband's Corvette, and like. Then they have to go find Morty's tax returns to prove that he...
Oh, the Bronson Pinchot design scheme. Yeah.
And then they need to get Sarah Jessica Parker out of the house. Goldie Hawn stages a lunch with Maggie Smith. And then she gets some, you know, man to decorate her house.
Yeah, basically, they lure in... Sarah Jessica Parker wants to be, like, Miss Rich Society, right?
Yeah.
So... The lady who's like Miss Society lady
with
in New York
the appliance
City.
Store.
Yeah, but she wants to like parlay that into society. So, but she's rich, so she thinks that money equals whatever. So, anyway, this lady, they set her up to go see this lady. This lady invites her to like a social lunch, and she's like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!" They take Sarah Jessica Parker there. She's total trash through the whole lunch.
Yeah,
she says she usually brings her own fat-free dressing, but this dressing's really good. All this shit. And then they trick her because the style lady gives her this card. She's like, I don't know if he'll be available, but if you really want the best, you need to see this guy. And it's Bronson Pinchot, obviously. Yeah.
So she really wants this man to like them. And it, you know, when she opens the door, it is Bette Midler's friend. And he's walking through the apartment and he says that this chair is agony.
Yeah.
Which I loved that chair. So.
And then he kicks him out.
He demands to be in the house for 1 hour to bond with the space.
Himself. You need to leave.
Yeah, he needs to get into it, which he did a great job of being like really crazy and like whatever so that they wouldn't like question it. They'd be like, okay, weirdo. Like,
and back then, if you were a foreign artsy guy, you could do crazy shit like that. And people are like, that's the way he works. I don't know.
So
and they shrug their shoulders and I don't know. So he just needed an hour to masturbate.
But what's
in
funny
the kitchen
is
floor.
That if it was actually like Nick Tortelli, he'd be like, no, I'm not leaving you in my house.
Get the fuck out of here. I'll be in my office. Don't bother me. Do whatever you got to do.
I will decorate
this
place.
Leave me
and
alone.
I've bonded with it. So I have a gold toilet in my bathroom. Thank you very much.
Yeah. He's a,
in my hall bath. It's a gold toilet.
A gold toilet. Yeah. That's pretty.
Anybody who shits in a gold toilet.
That's some gaudy shit right there.
Yikes.
I want my shit to be regal. There.
What do you need to feel like?
Thou hast taken thy regal dump.
Oh, no, a dump in a batch. Oh, no, we got it. Is it a dump or a batch? In the bathroom.
Hold on. Let me see. Oh, it's a dump.
I'm told that we're getting another batch of dumps in the gold toilet.
Oh, my God. If I hear about one more state's dumps and batches, I'm going to lose my shit.
That being said... So Bette Midler goes into the house and she's kind of having a little bit of a breakdown because, you know, she's been the cashier working. She, you know, helped him build himself up. And now all of a sudden he's making some money. He's feeling good about himself. And he's like, I need an upgrade.
Very wealthy, apparently he is.
And Bette Midler's like, what the fuck, man? Like, I, you know,
lawyers existed. This is the 90s, not the 20s. I don't understand why.
This is the 90s.
I don't understand why Bette Midler wasn't getting a lawyer and suing him for more money.
She should have.
Yeah. If she helped him build the goddamn store and he has a lot of money, she should probably get,
she should get like
a
all
piece of the store or alimony in a high amount or something, yeah. I would imagine. That shouldn't just be fucking gone.
For the writers of the first lady, the First Wives Fight Club.
Yeah.
If you add that in there.
Yeah. You
where
take
Bette
note.
Midler doesn't do the mafia thing. She does the...
She gets a lawyer.
She gets a lawyer and
she... Uncle Carmine, you know any good lawyers?
And because I bet you Nick Tortelli didn't sign a lot of contracts.
No, they didn't sign any prenups when they got married. They were nothing when they got married.
No prenups, no business thing. It's just she's fucking part of it, so... Yeah.
They're building
whatever,
a store of pilfered electronics. What are you talking about?
So she's kind of having a breakdown that this is not the life... Like, this is not her life. Like, that Sarah Jessica Parker did nothing.
She walks
and
she
just gets
like,
to...
oh my God.
Yeah, this is a very 90s desk here. Diane Keaton is on Morty's Window 95 trying to...
that was great.
Print out his tax returns, but instead she's like, I don't even know what documents she was... like an Excel spreadsheet. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Bette Midler is in the filing cabinet.
Looking for evidence of malfeasance.
Well, she's looking for his tax returns because she knows where all the folders are.
She knows where the bodies are buried.
Sarah Jessica Parker and Morty are on their way back. They are back. The friend has to distract them so that the Goldie Hawn, Bette Midler, and Diane Keaton can escape. They end up going out the balcony fire escape thing while Morty goes and dumps a ballot on the golden toilet.
Yeah.
And then they go to, the girls go on the painter thing and they like plummet to the sidewalk, which was actually pretty funny. I did.
Yeah,
laugh.
They fly down. At one point, they stop in the middle and like a couple's laying in bed and they're like, is that so and so? Goldie Hawn's character, because she's a famous person. She's like,
Elise
hi.
Elliot.
You look great, Elise Elliot. And she's like, thank you. And then they plummet down even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Very
so,
old school comedy gag. The window. Washer thing. I mean, that's like the oldest comedy gag, and I think the Three Stooges used to do that.
Yeah,
they'd be stuck on a fucking window washing thing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The girls are back and at the headquarters, and they are getting drunk and eating mixed nuts, which looks awesome. I want to eat some pistachios.
Let's do it. We have some.
Do we really?
Fuck yeah, big bag of them.
What?
A listener, actually, a Small Town Murder, sent us a big bag of pistachios and Cheez-Its
and
Oreos, and it's upstairs. We've been eating out of it. You didn't know that there's pistachios under the Cheez-Its. Yeah.
You hid the pistachios.
No, they're just under there.
Just like
it's a
you
huge
ate
bag.
Those damn cashews.
I did not eat. We have a thing about these cashews naturally seem to sink to the bottom and a thing of mixed nuts. And she'll look at it and go, you must have eaten all the cashews.
No,
meanwhile, if you turn it all over.
It is not unfounded. It is not unfounded.
If you turn it over.
I have watched James fish through his finger.
But I'm not looking for a cashew. I'm looking for almonds.
But you only eat the cashews.
No, I like almonds the most. I'm looking for almonds because I like to split them in half and they're all smooth in the middle. And I find
story.
That you have no idea
you
how my brain
all
works.
Of my cashews.
I'm OCD and I like to split the almonds in half and then they have like that smooth center and I just find it
this
fascinating.
Sounds like you're making up a lot of information to cover up with the fact that
making
you
up information.
Eat my cashews.
I don't want your cashews.
You eat my cashews.
I don't because I don't want them. I want my almonds. Take your cashews and go somewhere with those things. I want almonds, damn it.
Eat my cashews. This is where all the girls sing You Don't Own Me by Leslie Gore. The daughter calls Diane Keaton and leaves her a voicemail on the answering machine and she's like, hi, call me, dad's advertising agency, like we, you know, whatever.
And then she's like, hold on. By the way, I am still a lesbian. Okay, bye. And then she hangs up.
Yeah.
They mention she's a lesbian at every scene.
Also,
like,
this is,
we get it.
This
it's
is Manhattan,
fine.
Right?
Yeah.
How many black people did you see?
Again,
zero.
In this movie, yes, it fits right in the thing of these romantic, I don't know what it was about fucking white ladies that went to see movies in the 90s, were they frightened of even secondary characters being black people or background characters? Oh my God, it's a black guy. I don't like this movie anymore. He's buying coffee in front.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
They live there.
It's people fucking New
there.
York. It's there's a lot of everybody.
Yeah.
It's just diverse. I don't know what they were thinking.
And
those are extras. You could just hire extras, just hire people. Yeah. Little everybody and just pick out give me like three of those and four people over there and some of these people and a woman and a guy and an old lady and throw them in a fucking mix. What are you doing? It's New York.
I get it that we are supposed to Like,
oh, it's the whitest movie ever made.
Yeah.
Literally, the whole movie is a bunch of women doing something because they feel bad for a rich white lady who was sort of sad and drunk and fucking killed herself. That's the whole premise. Like, you can't get any whiter than this movie.
No, it's pretty white.
It's the whitest movie ever. Makes Teen Witch look like Electric Boogaloo.
So, oh, wow. So Diane Keaton calls, obviously.
The main character, anyway. Shabadoo was black, but everybody else was white, pretty much. Sorry, go on.
Okay, Diane Keaton obviously called Bette Midler to tell her about the advertising agency thing, because then Bette Midler calls Goldie Hawn, and she's like, hello, we need to, Diane Keaton's got to buy this, you know, do you know where we can get that money? And then,
oh, the auction.
Yeah, so the Maggie That's Smith right. takes Sarah Jessica Parker to an auction with
Bronson Pinchot,
and they're like basically trying to get her to spend a lot of money, which I was like, whoa, like I understand taking these people down and like, you know, getting what you deserve. But like you just fucking bilked him for like
$500,000. They spent $140,000 on a plate.
Yeah.
On a plate, and then another $250,000 on like a lounge thing.
It was a chaise lounge.
Yes, there you go.
That was $40,000.
Oh, for that, because nobody
wanted
it.
I think she did that one. And then she spent $140,000 on a plate, and then she apparently bought a $300,000 Lamborghini.
For him.
And she's getting lectured on how much money she's spending. And he's like, you know, what the fuck? Like, why did you spend this much money? And so she's like, oh, well, you haven't even proposed to me. So she like turns it around on him.
Maybe I should just leave, because you haven't even said if you want to marry me yet.
And so it turns out that now Sarah Jessica Parker and Nick Tortelli are engaged. The son is kind of freaked out by it. This is the first that Bette Midler has heard about this. And she does, like, she looks hurt, but I think she's processing it better. Like, I think she's like focusing on something, like focusing on a project while it is taking down your ex-husband.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think that what she's like, she
just
has
added it to the list.
She has the support of two friends. Like, she got to reconnect, and she's like getting to work on something where she gets to focus her energy. Because I think that a lot of people, like after they get divorced, they get so angry at the other person that they just devote so much energy to them.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you could just healthily devote that energy. Like, you can be sad. Absolutely. You should be sad and angry.
But you also have a life that you need to get on with.
Yeah. You can
for anybody.
Find a good support system, and then, like, you know, like, hey, I'd like to try to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And make sure your therapist isn't fucking your husband. That's perfect.
Diane Keaton never brought that up again.
No, and that's the biggest like trespass been, like, I've even had on
so
perpetrated
unethical.
On them.
Yeah.
There are two people she's supposed to trust the most, and fucking one of them, like, you know, by law is supposed to be able to trust the most.
Goldie is upset because she seems to have the idea that Morty is getting sufficiently what for?
He's getting the what for?
Aaron, Diane Keaton's husband, is getting sufficiently what for? And
no,
she's like,
no, Bette Midler, but not Diane Keaton's husband. Why isn't he getting in the ass?
No. Goldie Hawn is like, why haven't you found anything
on
my
husband? That's right. Yeah, my
The
bad.
Other two, they're getting sufficiently wrecked.
Yeah,
and she's like, okay, so like, what about my husband? And like, Diane Keaton's, you know, looking at Bette Midler, and she's like, I don't know what to do because I can't find anything on him.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
And, you know, and she's like, what are you telling me, that my husband's not a scumbag?
Meanwhile,
and like,
he's a Hollywood producer. Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ, nowadays you could find 45 women that he's probably done horrible things to.
The girls all start to fight. They call Goldie Hawn a drunk. They call Diane Keaton a pushover. They tell Bette Midler that she's fat.
That's it.
This fight was fucking boring.
Yeah.
And Bette Midler was pointing out, I mean, rightfully, Goldie Hawn's privilege. She's like, you're just fucking drunk. Meanwhile, you're a beautiful actress.
Have everything.
You have, like, you don't even recognize the things that you have. And instead, you're just sitting in here crying, feeling sorry for yourself. Meanwhile, you know, I got to live in some shit apartment and take care of my 13-year-old kid. And I don't have the luxury to be sad. I got a fucking, somebody depends on me.
So Goldie Hawn calls her fat in return.
And says that she likes pie.
Yeah. So
rude.
Good God.
I love pie.
Love pie.
Anyway, so
my favorite.
The fight was so boring. Then there's a montage scene. It's very introspective, this song, but all the girls are having moments of introspection. You know, Goldie Hawn's throwing away all of her vodka bottles and
booze bottles.
She's looking at her, you know, this hallway where it's just pictures of her, and she's like, you know, what's going on with me in my life? Like, she's having a really come to Goldie moment here. And
a
then
come to Dolly moment.
Diane Keaton is calling her mom and daughter over to, like, you know, talk her through the problem that she's having right now. Because, again, she doesn't have a therapist anymore. She's in between therapists.
That's a good way to put it.
They have a little powwow in the kitchen over some popcorn. Goldie Hawn and Bette Midler have reconciled, and they're trying to talk Diane Keaton into continuing on their journey in the First Wives Club. Goldie Hawn goes and meets with Jesse Spano to say that she's going to be in the play. That was like, you know, she's like, I'm sober now. And, you know, probably been 24 hours, but she's like, I'm sober now. And
it's all behind me.
And I'm not vain about my looks anymore. Magically, I've just, you know, become a different person overnight.
Talk about
which, no, that's
years
not realistic.
Of therapy.
Yeah.
To sober up and realize you're all of your internal things. She just slept on it, man.
Yeah,
she's strong,
like,
that Goldie Hawn.
She was like, you know what?
She is Goldie Hawn, though, let's be honest.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out these bottles, and that's going to be cathartic for me. And I'm going to just reflect in this room.
Yeah.
It's like, no. You have to really, like...
She just realized she gets to live with Kurt Russell and was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
My life is wonderful. Never mind.
I don't need to drink. This isn't me.
Yeah. Even my daughter's going to be a movie star, and she'll have maybe a third of my talent. That's how talented and amazing I am.
But then she also makes...
My offspring will be a big star.
Spandex pants.
And it'll be mediocre as fuck. Yeah.
So Goldie Hawn goes and meets... Oh, so Diane Keaton's like, and you're going to do the play? Like, you're going to be Monique's mom? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to do the play. I'm going to love it. And it's like, that's asking a little bit much of people to just, like, can you just be a completely different person? Like, can you just go against all of your instincts?
6 months later, Goldie Hawn is going to be, you know, in bad shape, I have a feeling. She's going to switch her thing to a pill addiction.
An equal and opposite backlash is not good.
No, not at all. But back then, that was considered, like, in the 90s, you could just do that.
Flip. It is the 90s.
Yeah, it is the 90s.
So she says to Jesse Spano that she'd love to be in the play, and she's happy to be Monique's mom. And so she's asking her questions, and, you know, I think we should get to know each other. Morty is filming a commercial. Sarah Jessica Parker is in the commercial as well.
Botching lines
like nobody's business.
I need a low-quality, high-cost appliance.
J.K. Simmons comes to arrest Morty. They put him in the trunk of a car. And, you know, you're like, oh, that's probably Uncle Carmine.
Yeah.
Obviously.
He's put in the trunk of a Lincoln.
They're putting some wheels in motion here, like, you know, in terms of, you can tell that they've organized, and now they're starting to execute on some of their plans.
This is the scene in The Godfather when everybody gets killed.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yes. Yeah. Mo Green.
Which, by the way, at the end of that, who's there? Diane fucking Keaton.
Oh, my God.
That's right. You bet your ass.
And she was Michael's first wife.
She was Michael's what? First wife. Actually, she was Michael's second wife because he married Apollonia. Over in Sicily first. Apollonia!
No!
Ah!
Okay.
Ah!
No! Seventh Heaven guy has his first meeting at 9 a.m. The daughter is reluctant, is very excited. She's like, oh, your day is going to be hell, Dad. Your first meeting's at 9 a.m. Like, you're really in for it, buddy. Like, you think that she would be more like...
And like, then you're my kid.
And then also, he doesn't even get fucked that hard.
Yeah.
Mom's just, like, going to be a business partner with him.
They broke up when she's, like, 22.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you mad about?
Yeah.
Did he raise you fine? Were they together and raising you and happy? Well, the fuck
your
you?
Your first meeting is at 9 a.m. and your day is going to be rough.
Jesus, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, who peed in your Cheerios?
Thanks a lot, lesbian. That's what I'm surprised that wasn't his response. I know
yet.
That was a joke.
She told him that on the end of the thing.
He's trying to be
in the weirdest way possible.
Yeah.
Okay. So turns out that, you know, it's Diane Keaton, and she's talking about that she's kind of taking over here. And he's like, well, I'll take all of my clients. Because she's like, you basically have to cooperate. And he's like, no, I won't. Like, you know, people need me and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, whatever. And she's like, well,
I'm Roger Sterling.
I got to. No.
Well, he's the account man. He was like the...
I thought he was the creative director.
But it said accounts.
Oh, yeah, he was
accounts.
That's right. He is Roger Sterling, but he's not Roger Sterling.
Well, no. Roger Sterling didn't diddle children. He at least waited until they turned 18, and then he romanced them.
Yeah.
With booze and cigarettes.
And a heart attack.
Which would draw a lady in back in the day. That was what you did.
Okay. So anyway... So she's doing that whole thing. And then you have a voiceover of Bette Midler talking. She's negotiating with Morty. She's like, so I'm going to basically be in charge of your... They're basically all like, I gave up my best years for you. I have nothing. I have to start over. So now you're going to help me get my career set up. Now, like, that's their revenge.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to help me do that, which it's like, okay, good for you. Like, you guys should have gotten attorneys and you guys should have gotten that anyway.
Okay.
But that's okay. Like, you can do...
Kidnapping is another way to go.
Kidnapping is a different way to go about it. So she's saying, like, you know, you're going to still be on as a controlling partner because you are Morty, but like... I helped you build your life, so I'm going to also benefit from it as well. Like,
absolutely.
So that, yeah.
And then puts
so
the
that I have some worth. And so then I think, yeah, she gives Diane Keaton a $45 million client.
Which is funny.
Victor Garber, turns out that he is dating a 16-year-old. That's Jesse Spano.
Yes.
So Goldie Hawn tells him about it and threatens to go on Barbara Walters. And this one actually did make me upset because she was like, I'm not going to expose you. And he's like sick to, I mean, he's like, well, I thought she was 21. I never thought to ask her how old she was. And I was like, so he should have to give you all of his money because he's going to jail.
That is, yeah, a 16-year-old is.
If Goldie Hawn is 45.
Yeah. Well, she did, I believe.
He's like 45.
I believe because she came there to be an actress, she probably went to lengths to disguise her age, like as far as like phony paperwork and shit, I would assume. So,
or like maybe it was like maybe in Arrested Development.
Yeah, maybe it was like that. Or
marry me. Babysit me.
I didn't know if it was that or if it was like a Tracy Lords situation where she had like all this documentation saying she was 18 and she was 15. And it was like, well, fuck, what the fuck are we supposed to do?
All the gals have business cards. So they say, well, if you want to talk, like, you know, basically, this is what we're doing. All the girls put their dicks on the table.
And oh,
they
yeah.
were like, listen,
hard.
I'm not going to put you in jail for 20 years. For, you know, lifting some things off of a truck and selling them stolen, whatever.
Yeah. Well, this is when the daughter...
And you have to come to this building in 2 hours. So they're all like, you know, if you want to talk, come here. So all of them just go there.
They show right up.
They show right up. They're having the meeting. And then the Seventh Heaven guy is like, hi, honey, can you tell me like what's going on here to the daughter?
Because she's like in charge. She's like the,
she's at the front
desk receptionist.
Lady.
Yeah, for this weird group of people.
And she's like, no, Dad, sorry, I can't tell you about it. And then she goes, like, when he's on the way into the meeting, she's like, and by the way, Dad, and he's like, yeah. And she goes, I'm a lesbian. And he's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I fuck kids. So,
yeah,
I mean, what do you think? That's nothing.
He's like, yeah.
So what?
I don't, yeah.
That's
okay.
That's fucking perfect.
But
that's
she seems
fine.
To
but
really
I'm,
think like she
I'm
jabbed
gross,
him.
Not you. Yeah. Yeah. She thinks she got him good. And he was like, that's nothing.
He seemed to be like, all right, cool. Why didn't you just tell me that sooner? Like,
yeah, he was like, what an odd.
Love you anyway. Don't worry
about
it.
What an odd time to tell me this. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Strange. I'd love to hear more about that later.
Yeah, I can't even support you because I'm being pushed into a room and having a door closed.
Your mom might kill me. I have no idea. But anyway, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to own an advertising agency. I was like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I want to have an advertising agency so bad. But anyway, then they say to meet at the...
They go, yeah. Where do they... Now they have to...
They're in the office.
Yeah. And this is when they're laying out their plan of like, you're going to pay through the ass for
this. Yeah, you guys are going to pay for this. So they say that they want money. It looks like Morty gives $150,000. And then Victor gives $250,000. I think he should, like I said, give money and go to jail. And then there's a big montage of, you know, people looking at blueprints and the daughter holding interviews for new people to work at the First
Workers
Wives Club.
Workers breaking walls down. And I mean, it's a
hard
whole
hats,
building remodel.
Diane Keaton in a hard hat.
Yeah. And they're acting like they're really fucking these rich guys over because they're making a charity. So what these guys are essentially doing is just making a write-off.
Yeah.
Which is their accountants would be like, great job donating $150,000 to that charity. We really needed that. Good job. Like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what the bad part for the guys is here.
So now they've created the Cynthia Swan Griffin Crisis Center for Women. It's dedicated to their friend.
Which
friend? It offers counseling, family therapy, and, you know, other options, which is nice because that is good.
Nice.
I mean, obviously, Stockard Channing could have used that in that moment.
Every woman in crisis can really, you know, put in their heart. Yeah, that poor rich drunk woman.
Yeah.
Oh,
but some people obviously don't have there are resources, like, I'm sure, you know, anywhere from
any,
a safe place to
a woman
to
crisis
be,
center is a great thing, and so anywhere you have
so
one
it
of
was,
those is good.
It was good,
it's a good
to
thing.
Have that, and yeah. whether you are more privileged and you're not in a situation that is dangerous or, like, whatever, to know that you have the option and the support of finding a therapist is helpful, and also for the
That's
person
great.
Who is in danger, it is good to have a system of people that can help you.
It's wonderful. I'm saying it took some rich lady doing a fucking gainer off the balcony for them to realize that those women existed.
What
I'm trying to say.
Did she say a swan dive, Bette Midler?
I think
Bette Midler
yeah.
said that being this drunk is what made her take a swan dive off. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, take a swan dive onto something, onto the, she named a street, I think.
Might have been Park Avenue.
I think it was Park Avenue, yeah.
Anyway, so Kathy Lee is interviewing them, and she's saying that they are really and truly
Gifford,
amazing.
By the way, Kathy Lee Gifford.
What did I call her?
Just Kathy Lee.
Oh, Kathy Lee Gifford.
I don't know if
Gifford.
Everybody knows who she is anymore.
So she's saying that they are truly amazing ladies because the center came. She's like, so, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys all got together because you guys all had husbands who left you for younger ladies. Am I right?
Am I right, like, on national TV?
They were like, yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
That is what happened to us. And she's like, well, you guys really are amazing. It's like, no.
Look at you getting back out there,
they
Grandma.
They are amazing for noticing that their friend was sad and lonely and being like, you know what? I'm lonely too, and
there
I'm
going
to fucking try to save somebody else's friend since I couldn't save my friend.
Yep. Kathy Lee didn't bring
instead,
that up.
Instead, they're like, you guys are really awesome because Nick Tortelli wanted to go out with Sarah Jessica Parker, which, by the way, Bette Midler, you are the upgrade, okay?
Well, I think,
and no offense to Sarah Jessica Parker,
well, when they have the opening,
Bette Midler seems fun.
When they have the opening, that's what ends up happening. When they open the center.
Yeah, but she tells Nick Tortelli to go kick rocks.
No, but he wanted her is what I meant. Like, he wanted her back.
She was, she was the gem.
Yeah, and he ended up, and Sarah Jessica Parker ended up leaving
with
the
Victor,
scumbag producer.
Yeah.
Who asks her how old she is as they cut
Gross.
Away.
Gross. He should have been in jail.
And she said, what's the difference? It's the 90s. And they cut away.
Kind of.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so, all right. Morty realizes that Bette Midler is the best, too little too late, because Sarah Jessica Parker is just like, got all dolled up, and she's like, I'm not going in there. And then she's like, I'll just sit in the car, in the Lamborghini. It's like, no, sit at home. Do like Jane Sterling and sit home and just get, like, fucking shithoused drunk. And then when Roger comes home and you're like, how come you don't like me? And then he goes, shut up, and puts you into bed. That's what you should do.
And then the Lamborghini wasn't even good enough for her. She had
no,
to complain about
like that.
It's like, you're sitting in a fucking, in a house, in a car that's as expensive as a house.
They are running this event. It's the opening for the crisis center.
That's when he's, Tortelli's all up
the
on
gals. Him. Yeah, so she, you know, he cuts in and he apologizes to Bette Midler and is like, listen, I really fucked up.
And I feel like in the future they're getting back together, though.
Yeah, she's
they're
like,
they're going to work closely together.
Yeah, because they're always working together. But she's like, you know, it's cool, but fuck you. I'm not going to, you know, just, I'm not going to take this manipulation just because I know you're going to fucking get bored again anyway.
I give it 2 months.
So the girls are walking around, and
this is like all sorts of weird cameos in this party.
And Diane Keaton's mom is finally nice to her, even though she seems like a pretty nice mom. She kind of breaks her balls a little bit. I mean, she said, I don't mean to criticize, but you don't have a feel for Noodle. She could have been a lot meaner.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, she could have been meaner, but she wasn't.
Yeah. So Morty tries to rekindle the spark. Like I said, Bette Midler's like, I was always amazing. You were always the fart. Like, oh my God, don't even think about it right now. Victor Garber finds Sarah Jessica Parker outside. Are you here with anybody? And she says, not really. And then she said, what's going on in there? Is it just a bunch of battered women dancing? I was like, yikes town.
Damn.
Population, Sarah
Fuck.
Jessica Parker. Holy
Jesus.
Shit, what a line. Yuck.
It's cold-blooded. Hey, it's the 90s.
After the party, there's a recap of the evening. Bette Midler says, we are women of the 90s. We wear pantsuits and we sing Leslie Gore.
Giant pants and we sing songs.
Yeah, and Diane Keaton is many things, but she is not a dancer, and I love her for it.
My God.
It was not good moves.
Dude, they pull back to like this long shot of them, this
and
wide
she
shot.
She looks like an animated corpse.
It's the saddest thing. And through the whole dance, like she just kind of moves her arms back. And
some of us are not dancers.
She is not a dancer. And Goldie Hawn's okay. And Bette Midler is like having to tone it down
Bette Midler was going a third Midler.
She could have just pushed them both aside and been like,
she could have done the whole performance.
Fucking, yeah, and they would have just been like, Jesus, never mind.
We're not even going to try.
Yeah, Miss Broadway over here has got this, I think.
I can't dance worth shit either, Diane
Keaton.
No, me
neither.
So please don't.
I'm not doing it in a movie
either.
My
23andMe profile is 99.8% white, okay? Yeah. No dancing.
Yeah.
No dancing. It's
not
okay.
On film anyway.
Anyway, I watched this and they are leaving the center. James, I got to say, I could not wear a whole white outfit and survive a buffet situation.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? Especially with those big heels. Please.
I was impressed. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I said, if she's coming out of there, she's going to have like barbecue sauce smeared on
not
one side of her white dress.
Not a chocolate chip stain on that at
chocolate
all.
Chocolate chip. She's got, I'd be like, where are your shoes? You'd be like, I threw those out. I'm never wearing those again. They're terrible.
I told you I should have worn flip-flops.
Yeah.
You told me I couldn't wear flip-flops because it was
I wouldn't give a shit. Yeah.
When
have I ever said that?
There have been some sandals that I have wanted to wear, and you were like, please do not wear those.
They were old lady sandals. That's why. Not because they were just like, Jesus, you don't want to do that, do you?
They were like really old. Skechers, like, shape
up
ones.
You can't do that. No. Those are for like 50-year-old men who are walking around Target.
I could not leave that party unscathed.
No.
I would definitely have some chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah. You'd have food, like a lettuce in your hair. It'd be a mess after you left a buffet like that.
Oil and vinegar stain.
Fuck yeah. I'd be like, that's my girl.
I ate some pasta salad. That's what that is.
I'd be into it.
It is over.
Thank God. It is done.
And now we can go on to the Heigl-meter.
Oh, to the Heigl-meter.
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls, 5 Heigls being the worst movie you've ever seen in your entire life. 1 Heigl, not that bad.
Meh, that's like 0 to 5. Sandwich.
Yeah. James, I'm going to tell you to go first.
I'm going first this time.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, this is one of those movies where the plot is tired.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tired plot. There's a lot of cliche bullshit comedy moments as far as the fucking thing going down. And a lot of gender war stupidity. Like,
yeah.
And that's just silly shit. Whatever. That's what you expect in the movie. But the fact that like, if it was anybody but these three in it, it would not be a good fucking movie.
No,
it
agreed.
Wouldn't even be semi-watchable.
No.
The fact that those three are in it, they're so good that you could watch them do anything. We could watch Goldie Hawn and Diane Keaton and Bette Midler do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's punishing. Don't get me wrong. It's an hour 43. It feels like it's 2:20.
That was a very long hour 43.
Every minute of it, but it's still not bad. I am going to go middle of the road for our type of movie. 3 Heigls, right smack in the middle of the scale. Not the worst, not the best. Meh. Hopefully I won't run into it again.
Wow.
That's it. What do you have?
I'm going to give it 90.
90?
I am a gal of the 90s, so...
90 Heigls, that's
90
perfect.
90 Heigls, because I am a gal of the 90s.
That's amazing.
And anyway, that was the first Wives Club. That was the first Wives Club.
I was surprised
you didn't give it 90.
No.
I was really surprised this time. I was surprised. I was like, he's going to so think of this one. And I was regretting asking you to go first, but that worked out quite well.
Yeah, you got this.
All right. So thank you guys so much for being here.
Yes.
And listening,
thank you.
And hanging out along with us. And again, sorry that we were late.
We do apologize for that. But unhelpable. And it's better this way.
Mesmerizing.
Yeah, it's
circumstances.
It
was more like there was no like.
There was a lot going on, and we were like, we just had to see it. I don't know if you're in the rest of the world. We're not going to talk politics at all. But if you're in the rest of the world, like, you know, we were having this election, and it was lingering on, and this was kind of like a week.
Yeah,
this is kind of the culmination of it, and they called the state that made kind of tipped the whole thing, and we were all just kind of. Just waiting all week for an answer to what the fuck is happening. And it was kind of we have to watch everything. And then because both sides were freaking out in their own way. And the right was freaking out over here. The left was. So we were just like, we have to watch
to
see what's going on here. We can't watch First Wives Club right now.
Yeah.
This is way more strange.
It was funny. One of my friends, she had texted me and she was like, I'm going to take a shower. Watch. As soon as I get in the shower, they're going to call it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. Oh, my God. We're never going to hear anything about a result.
And then, boom, a batch and a dump, and then there you go.
Yep. Last batch, last dump. And I was like, oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
So thank you for bathing.
Yeah, thanks for waiting.
If it was your fault if you guys bathed and you were like, you know what? Fine. Fuck it. If I just go do this, I'm not going to miss anything. And then you did.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you don't want to miss any bonus episodes, which you should be more you should be more regretful for not watching.
Oh, yeah.
Or listening to, not watching.
Yeah.
It's at patreon.com/YouGotHighGold, YouGotHeigld. Again, we are playing the make your own rom-com.
Oh, so much fun.
Game, and we are going to be adding in the decades.
Yes, I can't wait.
So the decades will be fun, I think.
That's
yes.
going to be good
and
stuff.
Then,
please, Jones.
Yes, if you like this show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars if you like it. If you didn't like it, don't fucking worry about it. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, we're not killing people over here. You don't have to.
It's fine. We're talking shit about romantic comedies. So if you want to hang out with us and listen to us shit on your favorite movie. And that's another thing I love this,
too. This is free. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, that's what I love, too, is that like I'll post relax. What movie we're doing and people are like, oh, I hope you guys don't hate this movie. And I'm like, well...
Well, a lot of the movies
we do movies that we cut that we like.
A lot of the movies we don't hate. I love Splash. It was one
of
my favorite movies.
Splash.
I love,
but
you
we can hate some certain parts of it.
Yeah, that's I can know something's terrible and still enjoy it. That's
life is worth complaining.
I've seen Rhinestone 50 times because it's awful and I love it.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's what I'm.
We watched The Postman on purpose.
Oh, I've seen it 75 times.
Life is worth complaining about. Okay, so like, just let us have our thing.
Definitely.
If you want to talk to us on social media, it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/YouGotHighGold, YouGotHeigld. We have merchandise. There's HeigleYourself.threadless.com. James, somebody asked for an I'm a Belding Gal.
I'm a Belding Gal. That's awesome.
I'm a Belding Gal shirt, so I do have to make that one. And then...
And then we had Jesse Spano tonight. How fucked is that?
Oh my God.
We had Belding and Spano, and then we had Carla Tortelli. And we had that combination from Cheers.
And Diane Keaton was in The Big Wedding.
This is great. Wow. Very short degrees of separation.
Yeah. Okay. So then if you want to follow me and talk to me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. At Sarah H is funny. S-A-R-A-H-H is funny. I do Complaint Mondays every Monday on Instagram. So we just talk about our petty complaints.
Yes, absolutely. And they're funny too.
Yeah. Some of them are really funny just because, you know. I love them. It makes me feel better because I really hate everybody trying to be so positive all the goddamn time.
Absolutely.
So, also, I have my books on Amazon. They are Small Potatoes, Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope, and Leftover Beef from a Lovable Curmudgeon. They are on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com.
And they're funny. Get those damn books.
Yeah,
I
complain about public bathroom policies. And
she's downplaying, but they're very funny.
And about, I would read them if it was a book that I was looking for. It's kind of, you know, nonfiction, really doesn't fucking mean anything. It's just
funny,
kind of, if you're
deep.
Having like a bad day.
Great bathroom material. Wonderful.
That is a very high compliment.
It's
Thank
a
you.
Great,
I love
it's
that.
A quick, this is like perfect bathroom book. It's perfect. You'd love it. Not that you could read it in one sitting, but I mean, it's a great book because you can read short. Because it's short bursts of things, so it's like, it's perfect. You'd love it. Read
that
the damn book.
That's a high compliment that it is bathroom reading
is.
Material because, you know,
it's
that's
true.
All I've ever wanted.
You got it.
I want my tombstone
people will,
to
people
say,
will poop to you. Everyone, poop to my wife's writing.
Just tell people how they can talk to you.
I'm at Jimmy P is funny. Or just you can also listen to me on my other two shows, Crime and Sports every Tuesday, Small Town Murder every Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, and we have some fun people that have joined us on Patreon, joined the madness.
Yes. Tell us about them, please. I want to know.
I have Shad Grim Gravy King. Oh, wow. Courtney Shad Grim Gravy King.
That's a handle.
Oh.
I like it.
Edward Kaczynski, Mike Himes, Isabella T, Chelsea Rumpsa. She even put the fucking thing there and I didn't read it. Do you know why?
It up.
Rude. Gonna hit this one. I'm gonna hit this one great. Ready? Michelle McMorris.
Easy.
Boom.
Easy.
Nikki Mayone.
Hey. Nikki.
Casey Locke. Oh! Casey Locke. James Adkins. Zachary Lee. Look at me. I'm Zachary Lee. And then Ruben Rodriguez.
Thank you so much for that, everybody.
Thank
honestly.
You guys for hanging out.
Enjoy the bonus, I hope.
Enjoy Make Your Own Rom-Com when it comes out. And then we will have another episode coming out on Saturday.
You know it.
But we thank you for joining us. We thank you for continuing to be part of the International Ass Nailers.
The International Pyramid of Ass. The International Brotherhood of Ass Nailers Incorporated.
That's, we're going to have to.
That's the International Pyramid of Ass Nailers Incorporated. That's,
you know what?
Yes.
We're going to iron this out later.
We got it.
You broads, you ass nailers.
You got it. You know what we're talking about.
You guys know what we're talking about, and you know what we're about to tell you. Go heigle yourselves.
Go heigle yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.